All right, another Maniac the Podcast begins. Just want to let you guys know about some things going on. Right now, you can subscribe to my Patreon for literally just a dollar. It is a great and affordable way to support your favorite artists, and not just me, but ultimately, I'm promoting mine. I'm trying to grow a little bit and see what I can do. It is name your price, so you can definitely give more than a dollar, and that's really cool. You can also go to my website at www.maniac.com, and that's MAINEEAC. Yeah, I know I screwed up the W's there, but hey, what can you do? It is early in the morning. It is literally 9 o'clock as I'm recording this. And that's not early to some. Maybe not earlier than the original episode that that aired previous. But, yeah. I also want to let you guys know that next week, which actually, I mean, by the time this goes out, there really won't be a reason. But yeah, hopefully by the time this airs, you will have partaken in the auction that I set up for Black Lives Matter and for the majority of bail funds that are in my surrounding area, and also to places I feel like they are arresting a high number of protesters and such. So, you can also check out my socials and all that stuff, too. It's a lot. Yeah. So, let's get this started here. I'm actually downstairs in my living room right now. Got my PS2 booted up, and I'm going to start playing Psychonauts. Yes, you heard right, PS2. I actually, before the pandemic even started, I had been kind of exploring some retro shops because I really wanted to delve into some older games and relive my favorite moments in the PlayStation 2. Let me tell you, it's mixed results. It's fun to really go back and explore these video games that really shaped my childhood and who I was, and also like explore games that I never got to play that I was actually interested in playing, but I never got to experience myself. And that is something that I can appreciate when, you know, older games are, you know, remastered and put out in the modern day. Because I think it's important that people experience, you know, these sort of games that like are definitely an experience in themselves. You know, it's insane. Psychonauts especially. I never got to experience it when I was a kid. I never really got to experience Psychonauts as a kid, and I don't know why. I just never got to checking it out. So, you know, it's one of those games I'm playing right now, and I'm like, wow, this is so, this is, at least it seems so out of its time. I mean, it's a game that really was utilizing the language of video games and interactive arts. Not the company, but I think that company is debunked. I don't know. I haven't heard anything from them. You know, but like, you know, this interactive media, you know, it does so much in the sense that it just, I like to imagine that this was made for the PS2 console generation. It's out of this world. It it utilizes its 3D space in such a way that like it like I laugh in a way of, you know, thinking like, wow, like, you know, nobody else was doing this. Nobody was going for this. There were obviously, you know, lots of other amazing games. Ratchet and Clank definitely did a lot of crazy things with its 3D space. Not to say that it's like, you know, overtly, you know, Psychonauts is overtly special for the fact that it, you know, decided to use, you know, different things. And like, if you played it, you'd be like, oh, okay, I get it. But just even in the start screen, you know, like you can start a new game and he's walking around on literally walking around on a brain, and like you can traverse this brain in a sort of 3D plane, not like just on 3D, like you can walk literally around the entire hemisphere, like the entire brain. You can literally walk around the entire brain and the brain will rotate. And I thought that was cool. Like, to me, I was like, that's just amazing to, like, especially, and to me, it's like to especially introduce your game like that. That is a truly, truly fantastic thing that you can do. It just boggles my mind, you know. Right now as the world's falling into chaos, and as I speak right now, there's some heavy shit going on still with Black Lives Matter, with, protests and just entire situations that are becoming exhausting. And I found comfort in a lot of ways in video games and art. And I think you need to do that. And I think more people need to do that. You know, no matter who you are, you need to find like that comfort zone to remember love and to remember, you know, the grander aspects of, you know, what you, you know, can be a part of, you know, the more beautiful aspects of life, because there's a lot of ugliness going on. There's a lot of ugliness, and video games have definitely helped me remember that beautiful aspect. And I'll tell you why. And for those of you who are like, it's just video games, or I don't really give a shit, I'm telling you, video games really are, and I know, like, you know, we call it, like, you can call it gaming, whatever. I expect a broad audience, so I don't like to just say games. I like to make sure I keep it specific, because games could be anything. Games could be board games, whatever, you know, it could be card games, so I usually say video games to kind of get that idea across, and I'm not ashamed to say that. For me, I think there's just a lot of communities within the video game playing field. Ooh, I am downstairs. Just dropped the remote on my coffee table. Within the sort of gaming community, the general large population, you know, there are some amazing communities that are uplifting. Most specifically, one that I found recently, I believe his name is Steven Sayer or Sailor. I'm terrible with names. You can look him up. He's a blind gamer, and he is an advocate for blind gamers all around the world. And watching this video of him kind of just, you know, get emotional when he checked out the accessibility features of The Last of Us Part II was amazing. It was a beautiful, beautiful short little video clip that just, it showed how important it really is, because as I've been telling you, for me, gaming has been a, not just an escape, but a means of, like, something that I don't have to really put any effort into looking forward to. You know, I can literally become excited about, you know, just getting on this game and just seeing this new world that is being shared with me from, you know, another mind, from many other minds, and just, you know, kind of like the cleverness of the interaction with the cinematics and everything. I truly believe it's a showcase of evolution, you know, of the mind, a combination of the evolution of art and technology and story, like writing and just everything, you know, every aspect of it, you know. And that's why I love single player games, because they can create this sort of like controlled experience that, you know, also is, you know, it, they can find creative ways to kind of play with the minds of people, and people can come together and go, I experienced that too. And it's an interesting social experiment, interesting social experience. You know, online games are interesting in the sense that, you know, they are the same thing. They're a great social experiment as well. And, you know, this is all just me kind of like just rambling on. So, you know, it's not that, you know, video games are not just meant to be a social experiment. They're not meant to be They're not meant to be just a social experiment. They're just, you know, but there is something interesting to everything. Anything can be a social experiment if you kind of really just look at the social and psychological aspects of it. But I kind of see a lot of that in video games, where it's like, wow, like, you know, the way people react to things, the way people experience things, it's very interesting. Right now, what I'm looking forward to the most, and I'm kind of getting anxious about, is the release of The Last of Us Part 2, because that game is going to be a prime example of power and reaction, you know, to everything. And, you know, there's been a lot of heavy reaction. If you are in the gaming community, you know there's been a lot of heavy reactions already. There's been a lot of intense criticisms. There's been a lot of intense hatred, especially from people who haven't played it and have just seen leaks. But there's been a lot of good objective reviews coming out. Overall, the reaction has been that it's a masterpiece, which a lot of people think is kind of weird. I'm not sure about that myself. You know, because I don't know yet. I am excited because I feel like the first game was, at least to me, a masterpiece. It definitely had its flaws. It definitely had its issues. So I mean, if you look at it in a sense of like you're playing a game and you see all these issues as you play more, and you see all these issues, and you're like, what the hell? And you think, like, this doesn't make it a masterpiece. What honestly makes it a masterpiece is that the experience of the story is so strong in the first game, is so strong that how can I not deem it some kind of masterpiece? And even the gameplay is great. The gameplay, I don't think, is like this masterful creation, but that's okay, because the gameplay actually feels grounded, and like they really refined it so that it didn't feel too much like a video game, you know, which is crazy to say. And it's crazy that there are companies that will like go completely different directions, in the sense of like, let's make something that feels just like a video game, or let's make something that feels not like a video game, even though you are essentially playing a video game. I love The Last of Us, Part 1, and I am deeply involved. And by the time this airs, I will probably have already played through The Last of Us Part 2, because I don't plan on airing these episodes. I plan on airing these episodes, I think, like every other day during the week, but I don't plan on doing a bunch of them and then start to air them and keep on going every day. Because this podcast is, that's what this is about. It's about motivating myself to get up a little earlier, not laying in bed too long. Definitely going to start getting up a little more early. I know I got up late because I had to make sure my girlfriend was awake for her appointment. That's it. And that is it. But yeah. You know, it's... back to what I was talking about. You know, it's exciting. It's an exciting time. And there's so much that we can experience and so much that we can become healthily obsessed with is the biggest thing, is that you got to become healthily obsessed. I know sometimes I get into video games, like, I've learned to watch how I get into video games. Because a lot of people don't want to put this stigma on top of video games and such, that you can become addicted or, like, this addiction, whatever else. Like, nobody wants to put that stigma on there. But I think it's important that we kind of mention that, you know, our relationship with video games, it should remain healthy. We should maintain a healthy relationship with video games. It should not be a case of, you know, I'm not addicted, I just like to play it all the time, and I like to reschedule my life, and I, you know, miss out on, you know, so many more important things in my life because of video games. Like, that is the problem. You know, I think a big important step towards understanding the addiction disease and understanding the issues that go into addiction are going to be understanding the relationships we have with what we're addicted to. Because there's addictions all around. You can become addicted to so many different things. And there are some, you know, and it doesn't change the fact that there are some things that are engineered to be addicted to. You know, people think like, oh, like, well, you know, they did heroin. Like, why are they addicted? Like, you know, like, that's their own fault. Well, no, you know, a lot of people do like to experiment with things, and, you know, a lot of people don't always get access to information about things, and sometimes they do, and they won't pay attention. That doesn't mean they should, you know, be left on the wayside of addiction. They should be helped, and, it's, you know, it's not easy to always go and help them, you know, but this is why we need to learn more about it and understand it more, so that way we can help save lives, and help get people to, you know, want to be helped, to kind of engage with people who have engaged in a very harmful relationship with dangerous substances and also just other things. So when it comes to video games and addiction, addiction is a unfortunately tricky subject to kind of, like, you know, analyze and deal with, because it's just so harmful to so many more than just the person that it's actually, like, directly affecting. As far as video games go, I mean, when my relationship with video games is definitely that of, you know, there's that of escape, there's that of filling time. There's that of experiencing something special, and that's where I get picky, because I would love to experience, like, a ton of games and, like, just go crazy. Like, I was looking at my game shelf earlier, and I was like, ooh, like, all these games that I got, like, I just want to play them all. And I knew that that's a dangerous path to be led to, because then I could become displeased, like, just... I automatically become unsatisfied and impossible to satisfy, because it's like, that's not right. It's okay to, like, only play a few games. Like, there's so many games I haven't even played on my shelf. And I know that's insane, but that's also the remnants of my unhealthy relationship with video games, wherein I just go out, I just buy a shit ton of video games that I don't even know if I'm going to play. And I just, I like get home and I'm like, hey, whatever. And I just play whatever. You know, there are, you know, it's like for me, it's like, okay, it's time to be okay with just playing games that you want to play. And like, yes, you can get pumped about games and you can get super excited and you can like engage and do a lot, you know. But for you, you know that there are other aspects that you need to deal with. You know, and this is honestly, this is just me because I don't shame people. Like, I know somebody who will play the shit out of a ton of video games and will have, you know, while it's a relationship with video games that I would consider unhealthy, it's unhealthy for me in the personal frame of mind, you know, but it's not unhealthy. It might not be unhealthy for them. It just might be like, hey, like I can do this. I go to work, I live, I function, and I play a ton of video games, and like that's what I enjoy, you know. And it's like that's okay, and that is okay. It's a lot of people have like dealt with that, you know. For me, sometimes it gets dark, you know. Sometimes I'm like, oh, you know. And it's like a lot of people said that that's video game guilt. That's another aspect. Like you shouldn't be feel guilty about playing video games. A little water here. Yeah, a lot of people said that, and you know, it's like I don't feel guilty when I play video games, but I do feel guilty when I do not give the attention and love I can give to the people I love, and to a lot of the other more productive things I love. You know, it's for me, it's all about communication. So I try to make sure that I communicate, you know, how I'm feeling towards a lot of this stuff and how I'm going, you know, like my current relationship with everything, you know, and just kind of expressing that, like, hey, you know, like right now, my girlfriend understands that I'm going to be locked into my PlayStation 4 playing The Last of Us Part 2 for pretty much the whole weekend. You know, she understands, you know, whether she likes it or not. I mean, that's I wouldn't blame her for being a bit upset or not into it. But, you know, that's, you know, that is where kind of I explain and like, and just straight up just, you know, forthcoming about it, you know. And I'm not going to be impossible to pull away from it. At least I don't think I will. I don't, you know, but I do, you know, I have, like, explained and I have, you know, pretty much proven my interest and obsession, in a sense, my healthy obsession with this game and what's going to be going down. So that's where it's like, you know, okay, that's okay. But, you know, when I'm just, like, going and, like, when I just, like, zone out and I'm just like whatever, like I just want to go play a video game, and you know, it's like it can be scary because honestly, like when a video game is great for me, when I can utilize it to pull myself out of depression or just, you know, kind of forego a feeling of something awful, you know, that really is just like more like my own made suffering, my own suffering that I've, you know, engaged with. It can really help because it can help reset my mind a bit, like not a full reset, but it can help reset my mind, my state of mind a bit and just think, okay, this is the way to go. You know, like I should, like, you know, now I want to go back to drawing and now I want to do this, you know? So video games have become more and more important, and I'm really kind of discovering how important they are. I'm really engaging with the idea that they are something that can be healthy for my life. And that is the most important thing, is realizing and engaging with things that are healthy for you and understanding what is healthy and what is not, and to recognize the signs of how healthy something is for you, how unhealthy something is for you. Really taking the time to engage with you yourself on a deeper level is really the most important thing you can do, because you won't sit and engage with something on a level that is of, the upfront. When I draw, I'm engaging with it in a sense of, okay, I am creating something that is, much bigger. Like, this is like, I, you know, for me, it's like, okay, keeping in mind that I am the person that is, this is stemming from, and this is a small aspect of who I really am. And, to not blow this one small thing up as something larger than myself. Because that we have, things that are bigger than ourselves are actually generally more, geared towards communities and music scenes and, art scenes, everything. Like, it's like there are things that are bigger than ourselves that, are, with other people. Like, that's the most important aspect of it. But when you look at something and it's and it doesn't come to overshadow you as a person, it doesn't come to overshadow you and your health, that's when it's mostly legitimately healthy. Especially, like, it's like if I'm illustrating a monster, it's like gonna be a small aspect of the large collections that I'll be, engaging with and dealing with and creating. And not to mention, I've been like watching the Psychonauts start screen, so I'm like kind of like drifting, and it happens. And it's early in the morning, it's about to be 9:30. It's at least early for somebody who is unemployed and who doesn't have much to do. Well, actually, I have a lot to do, but it's just you finding those things to do is the important key. So yeah, back to what I was saying and back to my point, basically, just to kind of get back in line with it, is that, for me, like, looking at something and like remembering the core of my mind and remembering to look inside myself and to remember, like, okay, you need to be a healthy, communicative person with people. You need to recognize the signs of when you are not feeling so hot and you're not feeling so great. Whether that is physical or mental, you need to recognize those signs, because if you don't, you can end up in an unhealthy state of mind, a very dark place. And I've learned more and more as I've went. And for me, it's like, as many people think that, like, engaging with social media or, messages and texts and shit and dealing with technology is like, it's like there's a stigma of unhealthiness and like it draws you away from people. But for me, my signs of health are that I want to engage with people in my messages, as weird as that sounds, because there are so many times where I'll just let people, like, I won't want to talk to people. I'll want to, like, kind of like isolate. But when I'm in a healthier state of mind, when I feel a lot better about myself, I want to engage with people, whether it's in person or whether it's through text and messaging. I want to, talk to people. And I've been doing a lot, and I've been maintaining like multiple conversations, and I've also been keeping attention to my girlfriend and, taking care of her and, taking care of, the my little fur babies, my two wonderful children, who one is relaxing in a hammock and the other one is scratching said hammock. And it's a cat hammock. I don't have a hammock in my living room. That would be cool though. I think I want to do that one day. Ooh, something happened. But anyway, yeah. So it's like I've known these as signs of, like, okay, like, I'm not ignoring everyone, which if I do, it's like sometimes I just have to come to terms with it myself. I don't feel like it's on a time frame, and I feel like I can like just go off and like still have a conversation. And it's not the greatest like means of like figuring out whether I'm healthy or, it's like I don't like to use that as just a thing, I'm not like anxious about it. But I get, when I get anxious, I can become very stalled and just still with everything. And so it's like when I know it's like one of the signs can be like, okay, a bunch of people send me messages and I freeze and I don't answer them. Whereas if I'm in a bit healthier state of mind, like if I have a ton of messages, I have no problem just being like, okay, let's just start answering. And I also have no problem like engaging with my art in a sense of like not thinking of like, okay, what do I want to do today? I just kind of like grab something that I know needs work or that I even just like, all right, I'm just gonna go for it. I'm just gonna work on this. And I do what I have to do, and it's like it's beneficial, as opposed to like utilizing something for just entirely therapeutic reasons. Hello, honey. Panda, what's up? My cat Panda's having a little bit of a freak out. What's up, buddy? Anyway, I think it's a good time to wrap this up. Half hour is definitely a solid episode length. I know the other episode, the first episode, was definitely longer, but I don't really want to keep a stringent time code for each episode. I don't think that's really necessary. We'll see as we go. This is just a start. It's gonna be messy, it's gonna be weird, and it's gonna be strange, and I want to see it grow. So just random stuff, and I want to have guests soon, but I'm gonna have to find guests who are willing to take the challenge of getting up early to do, these kinds of things. So I'm gonna wrap this up here. This has been, I don't know what I want to call it yet. So far, I've been calling it Get Up with Maniac. But I don't know. It's we'll see. I want to think of some good names for it once I get it out to release. And yeah. Just remember, guys, you can donate slash subscribe to my Patreon for literally just a dollar. It's a name your price, so if you want to give a little more per month, that is cool. But the way Patreon works is you subscribe for the name your price, and you can literally give, and that's the amount that you will give every month. So it's a great way to support your artists who are definitely working very hard, and who are trying to maintain some kind of steady income while they, utilize their talents for work that won't pay off immediately, or for work that is going to pile up over time, and like commissions and stuff that don't pay right away, so they got to put a lot of work in. Patreon is a great way to both support your artists so that they can essentially have a great steady income, and also it can help fill in the blanks and fill in the gaps for them that, are necessary. It really is a helpful thing. This is not a commercial for Patreon. I am just a part of it, and I have only at this time 3 Patreon supporters, and I'm super grateful for all of them. They are Charlie DiLorenzo, Christina, Elizabeth, and also Chris Bednaz. I'm not even looking at the list, so I'm like, might have screwed up some of those names. But either way, I have 3 amazing Patreon supporters right now, and they are dope, and I'm so happy that they are providing me some kind of monetary help. And it's not a lot, but it's a start, and it's a growth. So definitely check out Patreon. Check out my page on there. Subscribe, literally $1 a month, $12 a year. And you can name your own price if you want to give a little more. And I've got some great benefits that are going to be coming up, like codes for my store, some free gifts that I'll send you, all kinds of cool stuff. I mean, it's going to be great. Once I reach certain goals, it's gonna be crazy. So check it out, and also check out my website at maniac.com. That's MAINEEAC, maniac.com. You can check out all my prints and all my originals up there that I'm going to be putting up very soon. It's going to be incredible. So make sure you check all that stuff out and support your local artists, support your big artists who may be also trying to make it. You know, they just might be popular. That's what happens a lot. Artists get popular and people think they don't need to support them anymore, but in reality, they're just popular and they're not making a lot of money. So support your favorite artists, essentially, is what I'm saying. Support them, be there for them, everything, because I know a lot of them would be there for you. So yeah, that is it. And thanks for being here on the morning talk with a maniac. Say goodbye, Luna. Now she's quiet. All right, be good, guys.